blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 141, the first stanza. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 141, stanza 1.
To read from God's holy word from the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the first book, the second chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, who art almighty, who art all-knowing, who art also just and righteous in all of thy ways, and most merciful and gracious, to those who have nothing but guilt and iniquity and transgression before thee. O, to thee it is that we try to approach in this afternoon hour, and when we are together in thy house or may listen from another place. O, we beseech thee, Lord, for the presence of thy Holy Spirit in the midst of us and within us. O, thou knowest that we are not able to convince any man, for we each have our own will, a fallen will by nature that has its inclinations, a disposition that is only toward vanity, what is carnal and what is sinful. And then there is nothing that we can say to a man in this world and that is able to convince his poor fallen soul. But we need not either. O Lord, we have read it out of thy own holy book. And thy servant did say that his preaching was not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of spirit and of power. That is alone what thou couldst give unto him for the sake of conversion of men in this world, which was so effective in the beginning of thy church in the New Testament time. O Lord, we beseech thee, who dost declare in thy word that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. O that thou mayest come also in the time that we are living with our children, and that thou mayest send forth that same powerful and that almighty Spirit that is able to raise us from our spiritual death and to make us alive to the things of God. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may for thy own honor and for thy own glory be in the midst of us in thy house where we are gathered. Oh, could it be even two or three in thy name in this afternoon? O Lord, that thou wouldest be according to thy own promise in the midst of us, and that thou mayest gather thy own church. O Lord, thou knowest that we have nothing to bring before thee, which is worthy in thy most holy sight, that there is no reason in us or in our dear children, but that we all stand guilty and filthy and polluted in thy most holy sight, and only worthy and that thou wouldest cast us away from thy most pure and upright presence. O Lord, we can only come in our guilt and in our filth, and to beseech of thee mercy and grace at a throne of grace that thou declarest in thy holy word. O, we beseech thee, Lord, to take reasons out of thyself and to magnify thy most glorious grace also in this afternoon hour amongst those who are so unworthy of it. Oh, that thou wouldst make thy name to be known in the heart of young and old. Wilt thou look upon all that thou hast begun that good work in, Lord? Wilt thou thyself bring it to a perfection as we have heard it of thy servant, and that we are amongst those that are perfect. O Lord, that it is amongst those who are not just the beginners in a way of grace, but who have been brought on a little ways, a little distance upon that journey. O, could it be also in the midst of us that thou art giving instruction unto thy children, and that thou art leading in the way of grace, more and more that we might know our wretched selves, that we may come and truly in the dust of self-abasement before thee, and that we might become and remain and become more and more a beggar at thy throne of grace, so to live and so to die, and so that thy name may receive all the glory and the honor. Oh, could it be from the souls of wretched and poor and miserable and helpless sinners? Oh, grant in the midst of us young people in whom thy spirit has begun, who do set an example for all that are about them, an example of the fleeing from ways of sin and of vanity, children, and with a tender fear of thy most holy name, parents, teachers, O Lord, Thou knowest all that have responsibilities, obligations, what we must set before others, office bearers, and we do leave Thee days without number. Oh, and also in our offices, so often so guilty. But Lord, could it please Thee to wash us and to cleanse us and to give us wisdom and discretion for the sake of Thy own church, that Thou mayst help also the poor and the needy and that are afflicted in the midst of this world, put away evil and oppression, but also in the way of the leading of the souls of Thy church. For Thou knowest all the oppression of the prince of darkness against those that are helpless to help themselves in the way of all Thy gifts and all the salvation that Thou dost give unto them. O Lord, and then they need to be protected by Thee, or that Thou Thyself wouldst watch over them, giving instruction and drawing them in a way of a true saving faith to leave their case with Thee. And oh, that they may be given that true comfort in life and in death, that only comfort, and that they might know that they are not their own, but that they belong unto their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Do look upon our teachers as they do prepare to begin again the labors in our own school. Lord, wilt Thou care for them, give that necessary rest yet that they may begin also once again with ability and delight to do the labors in the midst of our children, and that Thou may give unto parents also a place upon their knees before Thee, for the sake of all that do labor on their behalf, for the welfare of their seed, that Thou may look upon all that labor in Thy vineyard, both far and near. Wilt Thou prosper Thy word, give opening unto Thy servants, give place for Thy word in the midst of the churches, both on the mission fields and also on the homestead, and that Thou may look upon the government that rules and reigns over us. Turn Thou us again, Lord, as a people, as a country, to Thy laws and to Thy testimonies. Do look upon all those that are afflicted, handicapped, those that do mourn, also those that are sick, those that recover from surgeries, both younger and older. Wilt Thou remember all that suffer from addictions? Thou knowest the struggles. Oh, could it be that a cry goes out also unto the Lord, who is the captain of salvation, that Thy strength may go before them, and that Thou mayest deliver in all the helplessness that a man can experience in his own strength, in his own will, in his own ability. Lord, that Thou mayest supply for all the needy, hungry, thirsty, naked, and destitute, those in war-torn places. O Lord, wilt Thou bring peace in Thy mercy, and give wisdom to those that make such difficult decisions. Look Thou upon our denomination. Wilt Thou be on the right and on the left of all that labor in Thy kingdom? Be with the student of the theological school who hopes to move in this coming week. Wilt Thou give a good journey, and wilt Thou give that they may be settled in their new place, and that Thou may prepare also students for the many labors that they must go through, and the instructors. Lord, wilt Thou help them, also him that has received many treatments in the weeks that have gone by. Oh, could it please Thee to bless all that has taken place, and that Thou may strengthen him also further for the work of his hands. Oh, look upon us and bless us all together, for giving and taking away all of our many, many sins. Be thou with us in this hour. Lord, take away what does hinder us in speaking and in listening, and that thou also may give a word from heaven spoken to our souls, and that we might be able to eat and to drink a little out of that fountain of living waters and the manna which falls from heaven. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 2 and 6. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. And further the 2 and 6 of Psalter 415.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul, we have just heard read here, writes, "What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Thus, young people, do you know what is in me in these moments? Do you know of that which I am going to speak in this hour? That is in me. You say, well, I know it is going to be about the Holy Ghost because I follow along a little bit and I look forward a little bit. Maybe you have said once, I cannot wait until the minister would speak about this or that he would speak about that. So you know a little what is in me. But you do not know how that I am going to do that, do you? You do not know how that I am going to present it to you. Why not? Because that is now laying in me. And that has not yet been revealed unto you. So the Apostle Paul says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He calls them a mystery. He says it is the hidden wisdom. We have in Lord's Day 8 heard about faith in the Holy Trinity. And then we have begun to speak about each of the persons of the Holy Trinity as it was laid out for us by our fathers. And then we spoke about faith in the first person, that is in God as Father of His people. And afterwards, we have spoken about the second person, and that was represented in the Bible and also represented by our fathers as Jesus, the Savior of His church, and as Christ, the anointed for His church. We heard about God's Son, their Lord, their incarnate mediator, their suffering substitute, their satisfying surety, their risen minister, their ascended advocate, and their heavenly guardian. What does Paul say? He says, it is their all and in all. Was he ever your all and in all? And then we heard that Christ's work is not yet finished. You say he said it was finished on the cross. That was, he himself has said it is finished. Yes, what was finished? That was the meriting work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we have heard that he does work also in heaven. And what is that work in heaven? That is now the application. That is now to apply what he has merited unto his people. But we ask now how. How does do these things of God? So Paul, he says, these things are a mystery. And these things are in God. He says this is a hidden wisdom. He says it is a wisdom that no man knows, that is in God. So how do these things now that are in God and that are a mystery, they're hidden from us, how are they now brought? And how are they made known unto man, unto his people? That is now the subject of our catechism question today in Lord's Day 20. which speaks about faith in the Holy Ghost. That is question and answer 53. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, concerning the Godhead of the Holy Ghost. First, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. So that is faith concerning his Godhead. Second, faith concerning the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, that he has also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. Thus concerning the indwelling, faith in the Holy Ghost, first concerning the Godhead of the Holy Ghost, and second concerning the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, that he is true and eternal God with the Father and the Son. And if he were not, then it would remain for you and for me impossible to be saved. After our confession in our 12 articles has made confession of the Father and confession of the Son, now we make confession of faith of the Holy Ghost in this question, in this Lord's Day, but also now in the following articles. Thus, this one is about the Holy Ghost itself. And then the next article speaks about the church. I believe in Holy Catholic Church. And then will come the benefits that the Holy Ghost is bestowing on that church. That is, the communion of saints and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Thus it has to do with the Holy Ghost now, the rest, the Holy Ghost and the benefits and that the Holy Ghost is bestowing on his people. That is all part of this mystery. You want to know that mystery, boys and girls? The mystery, that hidden wisdom hidden in God that still needs to be somehow conferred, still needs somehow to be bestowed upon his people. And then we say, how is this done? Well, what kind of blessings are these which need to be bestowed? So we will think about forgiveness. I believe the forgiveness of sins. What kind of a blessing is that? Is that something, children, that you can touch? Can you touch forgiveness? Can you see forgiveness? Say, I cannot touch that. That is not something I can see or feel. Is it real? Forgiveness? Is forgiveness real? Did you ever feel it? You say, yes, it is very real. Well, how is it that you know that it is very real? If your Father forgives you, where is that forgiveness? That is in his heart. So how do you know it is real? Well, you say, he tells me. He tells me. He says, I forgive you. And then I sleep again. And then I sleep again. And thus, I know for sure that forgiveness is a very, very real thing. What about communion? Communion. Did you ever have communion? You have a friend, boys and girls, young people. Did you ever speak just heart to heart with your friend? What is that? that is communion. Can you touch it? Can you see it? Is it real? You say it is real. That is a very blessed thing that I do experience with my friend, because then we share something. We share something of our pain. We feel that with one another. We share something of our hopes, and we share something of our joys. Yes, I feel it. I feel it. It is true. It is real. I experience it in my heart. So what is now happening? What does Paul say? He says, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? It is hidden in him. And what man knows that? No one. Until he does what? He reveals it, Paul says. He reveals it to someone else. And if he does not do that, then you cannot know it. Because it is something that is living, it is lying in that other man's heart. And if he doesn't reveal it to you, then it will remain always hidden in his heart. And so Paul says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Thus those mysteries, those hidden things, God is revealing unto men by his Spirit. He has revealed them to the apostles, to the men he has inspired to write his word, yes. And he must also open our eyes and reveal them to us as we read that holy word of God. For this reason, the Holy Spirit must be God himself, as our fathers say here, true and eternal God with the Father and the Son. Why? Well, otherwise he cannot know the things which belong unto God, unto the Father and the Son. Paul says, these are things that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. But he says, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Thus we have proof that the Holy Spirit is God. Can man, we read in the book of Job, can man, by searching, find out God? So no man can do that. No creature can do that. But we read that the Holy Spirit searcheth all things, that the Holy Spirit searcheth the deep things of God. Thus, it is impossible for the Holy Spirit to be anything but God himself in order to be able to search God. So God will search us, but we cannot search God. And it is proof also that he is a distinct person from the Father and the Son, who is searching as a person these deep things of God. And thus, this Holy Spirit, who is shown in God's word to be God himself, being also a spirit, the Holy Spirit, is also able to reveal spiritual things. He is a spirit. He is able to reveal spiritual things unto the spirits of men. That is, those who are able to receive such things. So not the beasts, not the animals, but he is able to reveal these things of God, this hidden wisdom unto the spirits of men. That is why Christ says, he shall teach you all things. Who? That is the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he will teach you all things. He will guide you into the truth. He, as the Spirit, is able to give you to know what those spiritual mysteries are. He will receive of mine, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, and he will show it unto you. That is the things of the Father and of the Son that are hidden to you. Thus we have the office of the Holy Ghost. You say, the Lord Jesus in heaven, he is doing the work of application. Yes, but that is not directly. But he is sending with his Father, sending forth the Holy Spirit as the worker to do this work for them unto his elect. That is, unto the church that he has purchased. That is all one, known by the three persons of the Holy Trinity, who that those persons are. Elected by the Father, they are bought by the Son, and they are made alive. They are given all of those gifts that were purchased for them by that Holy Spirit. But now, how can that church receive them? That is one thing that we say, the Spirit is the one who is going to give them. But how then are that people able to receive these gifts? Because are not these gifts spiritual gifts? And we look at the people, that is the elect church. Is that elect church now fit to be able to receive these gifts? Is it not so that we read in God's word that also this people that are to receive these spiritual gifts are born in this world dead? That they are born dead in trespasses and sins. Thus, we have heard it here also, Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, he says. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Thus, we can say that the Holy Spirit is going to give them, but they are also gifts that need to be received. The Lord Jesus has instituted a ministry. And that ministry that is done by his servants in this world, that is a ministry that is a means of gathering his people. And the Holy Spirit has inspired men in this world, the prophets and evangelists, and they have written the holy word of God. Also a means. Do you use that means? Also a means for the conversion of men. And still, Paul says, it is insufficient. He says, it is not enough. It is not enough, he says, until the church is actually changed. Thus, the church, born dead in sins and in trespasses, needs to be changed, in order that they may be fit to receive what the Holy Spirit is going to give unto them. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says that that word, so that is boys and girls, the seed, right, that goes and is falling, sometimes just on on the wayside, right? When you have maybe all kinds of thoughts in the house of God and of this world, or you are so tired you cannot keep your eyes open, and then that seed is just falling on the wayside, it is not entering your heart, and the birds of the air are gathering it up, and stony ground and among the thorns and so on. What is now the only seed that Christ says has borne fruit, brought forth fruit? I say that is now the seed which has fallen upon good ground. That is the only ground. And thus, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, the ground must first be changed. The ground must be made able to receive the word that is preached unto you. And that is, congregation, why this Holy Spirit needs to be God himself, as our fathers say. Who is able to change the ground on which that seed is falling? Who is able to change our heart and make our heart receptive to the preaching of that holy word of God? When we come into that house of God, what do we need for that? You ever feel that? We need a supernatural power. I cannot do that. You cannot do that. No, only God can do that. Why? Because he needs to overcome death. Can you overcome death? If we go out to the graveyard and we will try to overcome death, the death of our loved ones, can we bring them back again? You say we cannot do that. Oh, we would all do that, right? Oh, if we could, and our loved ones are dying, yes. But now that to overcome spiritual death, and to take this heart and to make it love something that it does not love, if I'm honest, and to make it despise something that it gravitates toward, that it loves, if I am honest. How can I change that? You ever feel that? Did you ever weep a tear because of the wretchedness, of the deadness, of the carnality, of the sinfulness of your own heart? And did you ever despair of ever changing it? It is a power well above all the power that we have in our human nature. To change ourselves. That is why the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, must indeed be God. He must have that power to make us alive from the dead, to change the very disposition of our heart, the leaning, the bend of our heart, to circumcise our heart, and to renew our will and give us new loves and affections, and to enlighten our understanding. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, that he is true and eternal God with the Father and the Son. Here is as much of a necessity as the divinity of the Son. We've spoken about that too. That the Son is God. Here we speak about the Holy Spirit, that he also must be God. And just as much comfort. Just as much comfort for souls that despair of ever changing their own heart. in order to make this word of God to be something that makes them glad, upon which they hope. They say, I cannot make myself do that. No. Then there is hope, and there is gladness in the fact that that Holy Spirit has the power. He is God himself. So Paul glories in that, in the fact of the work of the Spirit. He who helpeth our infirmities, for example. He says, who we people who do not even know what to pray for as we ought, to make a man supplicate and cry indeed unto God. Is it not that Holy Spirit that we read gives men to speak with other tongues? That was for them in a natural way. But now for the Lord to give us to speak with another tongue, that is a spiritual tongue, as the Spirit gives him utterance, all to the glory of God. That is leading us directly here to our second thought, faith in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, that he is also given me to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. Thus, that he is also given me. So the Spirit of God is not only giving gifts, but our fathers say that the Spirit of God is a gift. He is himself a gift. We cannot know. We cannot see him, but we can see what? And we can feel what? Well, we feel the effects of the Holy Spirit. Thus, what is the Spirit? Well, then there is, the Spirit is the effector of movement, the Lord Jesus says. Thus, he speaks about that Spirit like the wind. It blows where it lists. You cannot see the wind, but now that wind is bringing forth effects. So we can feel that blowing, we can hear it blowing, and we can see the trees and what they do when that wind is blowing. And so now he says, is the Holy Spirit. He says, and Paul says, now have we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Thus he says, we have received the person of the Holy Ghost as a gift. And that person of the Holy Ghost is given to dwell, to live inside of the heart of his people. So how can I know that? Well, congregation, the Lord Jesus says you can know that by movement that he causes. Because otherwise, there's no movement. No movement. We don't mean physical movement. We mean movement of your soul. And that is how that we can know the existence and the dwelling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. What is that? The mind. What does the mind do? The mind is going to make judgments. The mind. And he says, we have the mind of Christ. That is a mind that is enlightened in our understanding. A mind that is renewed in the will of the soul of a man, and his affections are renewed, so that that mind that is now making good judgments about what to build, not to build, no, good judgments about what is desirable and what is not desirable. What judgments does our mind make? He says we have the mind of Christ. And now that mind that is given a new that is enlightened in the understanding, with that heart that is renewed, then it is making new choices. And where are those choices? Those choices are moving in a certain direction. So is there movement in your heart? By nature, that movement goes in certain direction. And by the Spirit of the Lord, the movement begins to go in another direction. Let us sing. 227, 1 and 3. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. There we have the movement. My soul is longing, fainting, and thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. 1 and 3 of 227. Secondly, that he is also given me. Thus, congregation, we have just sung about that movement that was within David's heart, that he felt within his heart. The longing, my soul longeth, that even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for that living God. Do you know, congregation, such a movement? Maybe you say, I did, or I think that I did. But you know, I do not feel it anymore. That movement is all gone. Does that make you afraid? Did David experience that himself? Children, when you go home, I have a little work for you to do. You say, it is Sunday, we may not work today. Well, this is work you can do today, because that is not just our daily work. No, I want you to take your Bible. And you may not use a concordance. No, you have just to find them in the Bible. Will you do that? What is the longest psalm? Say, that is Psalm 119. And I want you to read it and see how many times in that psalm David writes and he asks the Lord, quicken me, quicken me. Will you find them? And how many of them can you find over and over again? Do you ever ask that? Lord, quicken me. You say, David was quickened. David was born again. You know what David felt? Dead. Deadness. That he needed to be quickened. And what was now this desire that David had in his felt deadness? Is that not movement? Is that not movement? Solomon knew the same thing. He knew something about the indwelling of that Holy Spirit in him, that lived in him. It dwelt in him and then came out of him, out of his pen. Oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Know that movement? And then Solomon also knew the lack. He knew when that movement was not there. And then he said, oh Lord, draw me, he says, because I do not feel any movement. But then the Lord put in his hand by the hole of the door, and he says, my bowels were moved for him. There you have it again. That working of that Spirit of the Lord. Where does it come from? That is what our fathers say. Secondly, that he is also given me. That he has also given me to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. Thus, the work of the Spirit is to effect a union that is between Christ and his church. Where is that union actually taking place? That is not in heaven. That is in the heart. Where the heart is being united unto Christ. Was your heart ever united unto Christ? How was it united unto Christ? Can you tell something of how did that happen? What kind of a union is this? Ah, you say that is a spiritual union. That is right. But what are the bands? The bands that are holding, that are binding those two together, Christ and his church. Well, what do we read the Lord says? He says, I drew them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. Is that not a wonder? Then the Spirit is not driving. No, but that Spirit is drawing. That Spirit is working with the will of a man, renewing that will so that the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. Oh, Paul says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That is felt. That is experienced within the heart. Did you ever experience this? But now, love is a fruit of what? Love is a fruit of faith. What does Paul say? He says, faith worketh by love. And thus our fathers, they say, to make me by a true faith partaker. Thus it is faith that is now the means of this union. That union cannot be effected in any other way, in the heart of a man, except by faith. And now our authors say that it is that Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, who is the author of faith. That is, according to the Scriptures. Paul says, not of yourselves. He says, it is a gift of God. That's the first work of the Holy Spirit, is to make a man alive. That is, to change his heart. The first work of the Holy Spirit is to take bad ground and make that bad ground good. What does Christ say? That seed that has to fall in an honest and in a good heart. That is the only way that seed can be made to bring forth fruit. And God only can make that heart an honest heart and a good heart from a bad heart. And now it is in that moment that faith is planted in that heart, that it is worked in that honest and good heart that is now capable of receiving the seed of the word of God, that is the preached word. Thus the Spirit, when he will regenerate a man, he must come immediately to make the heart alive and to make that heart receptive to what you are hearing under the preaching of the Word of God. That is all a benefit out of the mediatorial work of Christ, all applied by the Holy Spirit, by the sending of the Father and the Son to his elect and his purchased church, to make me to be a true by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits. Thus, as soon as faith is born, a man is made a partaker of Christ. That is, in the day of his new birth, in the day of his regeneration. Does that mean he is conscious in that day that he is a partaker of Christ? No. Because, boys and girls, your little baby brother or sister is not conscious either, is he? That he is a son of your father and a son of your mother and a brother or sister of you. They don't know that yet. But that doesn't take away the truth of it, does it? He is still your brother, or she is still your sister, right? And now if the Lord will give you a new heart, then you will not be able to say immediately that I am a child of God. No, because you are born, and as a little baby in grace, as a child in grace, you cannot say that yet. You need to mature. That is for the older ones. But it doesn't take away the fact that as soon as a person is born again, he is now united unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And the consciousness of that is coming in the future by the maturing of grace and by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, who we are, who God is, our wretchedness, our misery, our poverty, our helplessness, our desert to be cast away, and the grace, the free and sovereign grace of his only begotten Son. Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So in order to know that mystery that is hidden in God, he says that first we have to receive the gift of the Spirit of God. We have received the Spirit of God that, in order that, not the Spirit of the world. What does that mean here, the Spirit of the world? That doesn't mean vanity. That doesn't mean worldliness, as we often speak about the Spirit of the world. Here it is just speaking about the reason of man. So how we can know God from the general revelation. That is what is speaking here about the spirit of the world. He says we cannot know these hidden things by our reasoning powers. No, those reasoning powers make us without excuse. But he says they are not enough. They're not sufficient. It's not enough to have the spirit of the world. He says it is by the Spirit which is of God that we know the things that are freely given us of God. That hidden wisdom that is in a mystery, that is a knowledge that can only be received by faith. That is a true saving faith, who believes God, who believes in God. You say, how can I know? If I have now true faith, faith that is worked by the Holy Ghost, do you want to know that? Do you seek to know that? Do you ask that just now? Or do you ask that also when you are at home, and to take books and to open them and to search, read? Am I also included, or am I on the outside of it? You say, how can I know? But is that really so difficult? Boys and girls, if your father says, obey me, or you're going to be punished. And if you believe him, what are you going to do? Oh, you say, that is easy. I'm going to obey. That is right. So believing him makes you obey. So obedience is a fruit of faith, isn't it? And if we believe God, the threatenings that are in the Word of God, the curses, the promises that are in the Word of God, if we believe God, then we are going to obey him. We're going to obey his commandments. Thus, if you will see men who make a profession of religion, of faith, we believe God, in God, and you see that their life is one of disobedience to the commandments of God, then what will you say? You say that man lacks the evidences of true faith. Because obedience is a fruit of faith. The Holy Ghost does not make a man to be slothful. No, he makes a man concerned. Because when we believe the Word of God, and what the Word of God threatens and promises unto fallen men, what are then we going to do with our state and our condition by nature described in that holy Word of God? Are we then going to be a man of sloth? What is true faith that is given to a man by the Holy Ghost, does that make him presumptuous? Just presume? Oh, I think I'll be okay. Is that what it does? I don't read it in the Bible. I read about five wise virgins, and they were concerned. They were concerned whether they had oil in their lamps. That is not just if they had a profession of religion that was now burning, but what is going to happen to my profession when I am laying on my deathbed? Thus, what does that Holy Ghost do? So when that Holy Ghost was poured out, on the day of Pentecost, it is poured out in a rich, rich measure. What were the effects? That was repentance. Thus, how can I know if that Holy Ghost lives in my heart? What is now the movement that Spirit is working in my heart, that I can tell from the evidences and from the fruits of that Holy Spirit? Is there now movement to him? But our Father say, to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. There is now no evidence that is so sure of the working of the Holy Spirit as comfort. That is the comfort that is in Christ. That is in the way of mercy. That is in the way of grace. The spirits that are from hell Do not lead a wretched and a miserable and a poor and an afflicted man, sinful man, to Christ. No, that is not the work of the devil. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit. Do we know something of that? And once our soul was given to take refuge unto Him, our congregation, then it is done. Then it is done. Because then the Spirit of the Lord, who makes such a soul flee in all his wretchedness, He will uphold that work even until the last day of their life. Comfort me and abide with me forever. What would happen if He would leave that people? They find that out when they grieve Him. And they find that out also to their own grief, when they grieve Him by their own neglect. Prayer, meditation upon the Holy Scriptures and the means of grace, by falling once again into sin, by departing from Him days without number, a carnal heart, and then what happens to the activity of faith? Then it disappears. And you know those people can't believe anything anymore. They can't believe anything anymore. They can't see anything, and all their hope is gone. So they experience what? Oh, the power. Not only to plant faith, but to exercise faith. Where is that coming from? That is coming from the Holy Ghost itself. That is in its existence and in its exercise. What did David say? He sinned against the Lord, and then he pleaded with God. He says, O Lord, take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. He felt he deserved that. And he was very, very afraid of that. But was that possible? No. No, that is not possible. What does the apostle say? He says, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. That is now the wonder for that true church of God. Comfort me and abide with me forever. There you have the stability of the church. That is now their keeping. That is now their preservation. That is their hope. That is their expectation in that warfare. Oh, wretched man that I am. And then everything from their own side is impossible, congregation. They cannot begin the work. They cannot begin the work. And they cannot hold on to it either. They cannot uphold it. They cannot keep themselves. No, that all comes from that blessed one-sided work of God. Do you see something? Do you feel something of your need now for that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit of God? What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, except a man be born again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, let us go on our knees for ourselves and for one another, and now plead with Him who is sitting at the right hand of power to send forth His Holy Spirit and to look upon us and our children in mercy. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach, wilt thou instruct us, wilt thou make us alive from the dead? We are helpless and we are guilty and we are unworthy, but thou art worthy and thou art so most powerful, and thou hast all the means at thy disposal to speak the word only, and it shall be done. O Lord, look upon us then, both young and old, grant thy blessing upon these few words and look upon us in this week. Remember those who hope to come in thy house to be united in the bond of holy matrimony. Wilt thou give what we need to do these labors and what they need to say and make their vows to one another and before the congregation and friends and before thee. Wilt thou look on all those that travel also in these weeks that are coming and going. Oh, that thou wilt keep each and every one of us in the home and by the way. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 428 stanzas 2 and 3. Oh, let thy spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed to keep thy statutes so to be obeyed. And what follows, 2 and 3 of 428.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless him.